Good morning, everyone. My name is Luke, and I will be your conference operator. Welcome to Promotora de Hoteles Norte 19 Third Quarter 2024 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please ensure that your full name is correctly displayed on Zoom. If not, please take a moment to edit your display name. I will now turn the call over to Hector Vasquez, the company's Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. We released our third quarter 2024 results yesterday after the market close, which can be viewed on Norte 19 Investor Relations website. We want to remind you that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements. We ask that you please refer to the legal disclaimer in the quarterly report for guidance on this matter. Joining us today's call is Mr. Luis Barrios, President and Co-founder, Mr. Leo Schlesinger, our new CEO, and Mr. Santiago Parra, the company's CFO. Luis and Leo will begin with some opening remarks, followed by Santiago, who will present the company's financial results. We will then open the floor for questions. Now it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Luis.
Thank you, Hector. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today as we discuss Norte 19's third quarter results. The second half of 2024 marks a turning point for Promotora de Hoteles Norte 19. Our business has shown stability in terms of the integration with Marriott, and we have been laying the groundwork as we've been focusing towards the optimization of our hotel portfolio and growth through an asset-light strategy. We are making steady progress in implementing this strategy as we position ourselves as a LATAM and U.S. and Mexico's nearshoring zone to become a one-stop-shop hotel operator. To enhance market stability, we are providing more detailed information on our four main business lines: hotel assets, operations and management, development, and our technology platform, named Altavix. Historically, our development and technology businesses were consolidated under our management business unit, serving as cost centers and service providers. These units have traditionally been instrumental in growing the platform, enabling the opening of a new hotel every 6 weeks in recent years. They played a key role in developing and establishing the City Express brand, now integrated into Marriott. We are leveraging the strategic relationship with Marriott and the sale of City Express brands to accelerate the growth of our businesses. We are evolving from a hotel chain to a fully integrated and regional hotel operator, offering comprehensive solutions across the entire hospitality value chain. From project development and management to operating existing hospitality properties across multiple brands and regions. This transformation is driven by our experienced professional team, proprietary technology, and optimized processes, which ensure attractive returns in the properties we manage. Turning to our quarterly performance, our hotel asset business continues to be the foundation of the company, contributing over 85% of total revenue. As highlighted in our quarterly report, we've successfully focused on optimizing portfolio performance by increasing room rates above inflation and improving occupancy rates, while maintaining a more efficient cost structure. As a result, our hotels saw a 240 basis point improvement in EBITDA margins compared to the same quarter of last year. As part of our portfolio optimization strategy, we are selectively evaluating the sale of non-strategic assets, particularly in the private market, where valuations are currently more attractive than in the past. Our aim is to reduce leverage and strengthen our capital structure, enabling us to reinvest in higher yield opportunities while enhancing our financial flexibility by reducing debt. We expect to announce some positive developments regarding asset sales in the coming quarter. As noted in previous quarters, the slowdown in hotel developments, coupled with our cash flow recovery, lower debt, and selective strategic asset sales, positions us to potentially pay dividends to our shareholders in the coming future. When looking at regional performance, recovery has been uneven. Our hotels in metropolitan areas and nearshoring hubs have performed strongly, with demand driven by industrial activity and business travel. In contrast, regions like the Bajío have recovered more slowly. We're focused on improving occupancy and profitability in these lagging regions while continuing to capitalize on growth in the high-potential areas. In operations and management, we have strengthened our position as a multi-brand, multi-category, and multi-region operator. With certifications from leading global chains like Marriott, Hilton, IHG, Wyndham, and Accor, Choice is missing here, and Choice, we are now capable of operating across a wide range of brands and categories. Currently, we are evaluating 12 projects across Mexico and LATAM. We are making positive progress on some important management contracts and anticipate announcing good news to the market during the fourth quarter. As demand for institutional operators continues to rise in the region, our expertise and established partnerships position us well to capitalize on these opportunities. The sale of our brands to Marriott, which generated $100 million in liquidity, impacted on our management business by around $100 million in annual EBITDA due to the loss of the franchise income. As of today, we have recovered $48 million in cost savings at the hotel level and $118 million through saving on interest expense. All of these savings sum up 166 million pesos, which at a cash flow level covers the estimated loss of the EBITDA of the operating company from the sale. Overall, our management company is approaching the final stages of transitioning distribution channel connections with Marriott while simultaneously preparing for future growth opportunities. Following the pandemic and the slowdown in Norte 19's owned hotels, our development business was downsized to its core team, preserving 20 years of developing hotel design and project management and expertise. However, this business unit has gained momentum as we foresee a promising project pipeline, primarily from third-party owners over the next 18 months, which is expected to drive healthy growth and return to unit profitability. Currently, we have a pipeline of more than 9 development projects, including in the key regions. As the hospitality industry continues to recover and we leverage our global brand certifications, we expect that our hotel development business will reinitiate growth driven by demand for consulting, supervision, remodeling, and project management. Good to mention is that we also design hotels and have the expertise to design brands. Recently, Marriott International announced plans to expand the City Express brand to the United States, Canada, and South America, which also presents an opportunity for Norte 19 as we continue to be a preferred operator and developer for the City Express brand, as well as software provider to such brands. Lastly, our technology division, Altavix, also holds potential growth. This has enabled us to continue developing a distribution platform named StackUp, which is scalable and is being designed to optimize revenue management and hotel operations. With over 800,000 rooms in Mexico and nearly 2 million in LATAM, we believe there is a significant growth opportunity to expand our software services. We aim to establish a clear and effective business model that delivers sustained double-digit growth through an asset-light strategy, debt reduction, and expansion. In doing so, we will diversify both markets and revenue streams, particularly in international markets. As part of our strategy, and as I prepare to hand over to Leo Schlesinger, our incoming CEO, I am confident that our strong team will drive continued profitable growth. Leo will ensure the company stays on course, focused, and achieving our goals and maintaining our financial strength. Leo, would you please take the word?
Sure. Thank you, Luis, and good morning, everyone. I'm Leo Schlesinger, the new CEO of Norte19. I bring 30 years of international experience across the U.S., U.K., Latin America, and Mexico, with focus on financial institutions and private equity. For the past 20 years, I've served as CEO, leading private equity portfolio companies in industries such as industrial, retail, technology, and higher education. For the past 9 years, I've served as CEO of Aliado Universidades, one of Mexico's largest higher education group and a portfolio company of Tresalia Capital. I'm thrilled to join Norte19 at this moment and contribute to its evolution. Although I've been only here for 6 weeks, my priorities are clear: ensuring operational excellence, driving disciplined growth, and executing our strategic vision. Thanks to the strong foundation that Luis has built and the support of our talented Norte19 team, I'm confident we are on the right path to extending our footprint, delivering on our long-term value for our shareholders. I look forward to staying connected and maintaining open, transparent communication. With that, I'll turn over to Santiago for the third quarter financial results.
Thank you, Luis and Leo. Good morning, everyone. Before I begin, I would like to remind you that the financial information presented here has been prepared under IFRS guidelines. Turning to the financial results from this quarter, we've started reporting performance by business line, providing a clearer view on how each segment contributes to our overall results. Total assets, which continue to be the core of our business, contribute 86.2% of total revenue. For the third quarter, the average daily rate increased 10.6%, reaching 1,332 pesos, a new company record. RevPAR grew by 12.2%, standing at 763 pesos with occupancy at 57.3%. Our strongest regional growth came from Northeast and Central West markets, where RevPAR increased by 17.2% and 15.5% respectively. We remain focused on rate increases above inflation and optimizing occupancy. Total assets revenue reached 1,008.9 million pesos, an increase of 16.2% year-on-year. For the quarter, operations and management revenue reached 143 million pesos, an increase of 5.6% year-on-year. This makes up 12.2% of our total revenue. We closed the quarter with a portfolio of 152 total hotels, one hotel more than in the third quarter of last year. Of these, 147 were considered established properties, two more compared to the third quarter of 2023. We operated 17,533 rooms in the quarter, 167 more than the third quarter of 2023. Turning to development, this unit contributes 0.4% to our revenue and is steadily nearing break-even. Revenue for this business line reached 4.9 million pesos, an increase of 44.2% year-on-year. Finally, our technology platform, Altavix, represents around 1.2% of revenue. Altavix's revenue for the quarter reached 14 million pesos, an increase of 3% year-on-year. Now, looking at the overall financials, total revenue reached 1,042 million pesos. This is a 17.6% year-over-year increase and reflects the increase in the average rate across the entire portfolio. Total costs for the quarter increased 17.8% year-on-year to 908.4 million pesos, as hotel operating costs rose due to higher payroll expenses and other necessary expenses to maintain hotel standards. This quarter, adjusted EBITDA reached 235 million pesos, an increase of 7% year-on-year. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 22.5%. Our comprehensive financing result for the quarter decreased to 135.5 million pesos, compared to 136.5 million pesos reported in third quarter 23. At the end of the quarter, 66.7% of our total debt was covered by derivative instruments, capping the base rate of our loans at a weighted average cost of 11.6%. As a result, 2,875.2 million pesos of our debt is hedged against interest rate increases. At the end of last year, our lending banks authorized financial covenant waivers until the fourth quarter of 2024, underlining our strong relationship with them. Financial liabilities increased by 2.2% from 4,286.6 million pesos at the end of fourth quarter 23 to 4,371 million pesos at the end of third quarter 24. This is due to both loan payments and the borrowing of financial credits to complete new hotel investments. Cash and cash equivalents decreased 32.6% year over year to 680 million pesos. We repurchased approximately 0.7 million pesos of the company's shares. Net debt increased by 13% versus fourth quarter of 23 to 3,666.6 million pesos due to the tax payment from the brand sale and ongoing construction projects during the quarter, as well as the acquisition of a loan for the construction of new hotels. We are confident in the strength of our financial position and the strategic initiatives across each business line as we continue to optimize our portfolio and drive growth in operations, development, and technology. We're well positioned to deliver long-term value for our shareholders. Our focus remains on operational efficiency, leveraging strategic partnerships, and expanding our service offerings to capitalize on the opportunities ahead. Thank you for your attention. Please begin the Q&A portion of our call.
Thank you. We will now conduct a Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the raise hand button located at the bottom of the screen. If you are connected via telephone, please dial star 9. We remind you that all lines have been placed on mute. When it is your turn to ask a question, you will be given permission to speak. You will then be able to unmute yourself and ask your question. We will now pause for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Karim Aksoy. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, this is Karim Aksoy from Glacier Pass. Thanks for hosting the call today. Really appreciate it. That was I had two questions. The first one is, you know, that was very exciting news about Marriott expanding the City Express brand to the US and Canada. In the prepared remarks, you mentioned that you're a preferred operator there. I was wondering if you can talk a little bit more about the opportunity set here. You know, how does that relationship with Marriott work? And also, how are you thinking about the potential impact on the company's earnings, maybe, you know, over the next couple of years? Like, what could that look like?
Thank you very much for your question. Yeah, they announced the entry of the brand to the US. They want to grow. As you know, Marriott considers this brand in the category of mid-scale. However, some of the brands of City Express, like City Express Plus and City Central, are of a higher category. But nevertheless, this is the 31st brand, and it's the one with the City Express and City Junior. It would say that this is in the more economy side of the supply of properties in the US, and Marriott lacks that. So they are coming strong into the US. That would provide in the strategic alliance that we signed with them, we had the preference as an operator, and in addition we had a preferred entrance or a preferred right to enter into with them and invest and manage properties in the border states of the U.S. border states with Mexico. That means including California. California was restricted in territory all the way to San Luis Obispo, which is above L.A. It's a huge market. So in essence, we have the opportunity and the chance, according to the strategic alliance, to participate with them in the growth of the brand in these states as operator and as potential investor and developer. So that provides, that opens up the chance to participate in the nearshoring region. Nearshoring region is not only northern Mexico, but it's also on the other side of the border. So there's a lot of activity, and we will try to capitalize on that growth and this preference. Now, in addition to that, we believe that part of the integration with Marriott and Marriott having this new brand for the US, we are not all that well known in all the customer base that Marriott has and in Marriott Bonvoy. We have begun to receive a lot of customers from them, increasing the percentage of North Americans from 15% of the market mix all the way to close to 30. So yes, we have received a push in terms of the number of foreign people coming into the country and all across the board. It's, well, not all the destinations are benefit at that percentage. This is an average. And but anyway, so we have received that push from them, but definitely what we need is time and to accelerate the recognition of the brand in the North American market. So this is something that will help, because they will invest a lot of resources, human and economic, to develop the brand, and that will make the brand widely known in the States with a faster speed than the ones we're doing it today. Today, the brand is being pushed by paid search and brand advertising in the States and in their base. But I think that there is still the potential to reflect in the Mexican hotels, in the City Express is located in our region with more occupancy. I don't know whether that responds the question.
That was really helpful. Thanks. I appreciate that. I had one more question, if that's okay. You know, I was looking at the hotel operating costs and expenses, which increased, 28% kind of in the quarter year over year. So this now this line item has been increasing pretty dramatically above kind of reported inflation rates this year of 4 to 5%, and then the RevPAR growth. I was wondering if you could talk about the current level of hotel expenses today, and at what point we might reach, a normalized level such that we could expect to get operating leverage on that line item, as RevPAR, as you keep putting up these really strong RevPAR numbers. At what point do you think that kind of translates to operating leverage, or how do you think about that?
Sure. What has happened with, as you know, the COVID eventually caught up with inflation. I mean, the measures taken by the countries in the world by easing their money supply definitely eventually had to go over a period of inflation. And Mexico has not been an exception. In Mexico, probably what has been different than in some case in some countries is that the policy of our government that just left the office was inclined to provide part of their politics was to try to get more purchasing power to the lower income classes, and that is why they started to recommend or impose an increase in the minimum wage at the pace of 20% per annum. So that yields, after 6 years, something above 100% inflation. And not only our industry suffered that impact, but as you know, we are heavy labor intensive, and a portion of our cost is labor. So it went from 16% on sales to all the way to 21 for the last year. And they are announcing a 15, something around 15% increase in the minimum wage. We don't pay minimum wage, but definitely when you increase rates in the base salaries, obviously the salary is closer to them in the upper ladder of the organization, starts also to get a crunch, and you need to adjust your salary structure all along. So I would say that is the major increase in cost that we have received, and we have been able to maintain our margins. If you see the margins versus previous years, not previous to COVID, previous to last year, we have been able to maintain it because of the aggressive increase in rates. So what have we done to cope with it? We have gone through some efficiency measures in the operation, and we will continue to do that. And for next year, we are definitely implementing a strategy to use AI in several of our operating processes. We do it in the revenue management side, but not in the operating activities. And the other is that we have been very selective in increasing rates all along, and we have been able to increase rates at the pace of inflation, at least in as an average in the chain. Now, when you get to see that some of the margin may be hit, is that since the inflation, the increase in demand has not been even, there are some places in which the cost keeps increasing, but the rate or the occupancy, the revenue is not increasing at the same pace. So when you analyze us, remember that we have 75 different cities and 153 hotels located in four countries. So it is an average. We can go into detail with you if you want to analyze by region or by brand, and then you'll be able to figure out that the measures taken are reasonable, and that we even still have potential to grow profits if the retarded areas like the Bajío region come back in terms of, and when I say retarded, it's not mentally. I am referring to the region in terms of occupancy. The economy has not come at the same pace as the rest. So I think you have to go to a deeper analysis in order to understand finally the rationale behind. But we are open to do that with you.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so your inflation is well above the reported inflation because of the type of cost you have, and you're working through that. And I assume that it impacts the whole industry. Maybe just one follow-up. I was just curious how you're thinking about 2025. So if you have this set up where there's going to be kind of labor inflation again, what kind of RevPAR do you need to kind of break even? And do you think, would you be targeting maybe potentially to see positive operating leverage to get, you know, above that break even level?
Okay, the strategy for next year, it is as usual, it is a mix of whether you want to penetrate the markets with occupancy, room nights sold, or with rate, or both. But normally you cannot do both. If you increase too much the rate, you lose penetration, occupancy points. And if you reduce the rate, yes, you might increase RevPAR, but probably profitability suffers a bit. So the plan has always been hotel by hotel, destination by destination. But what we're planning next year is a strategy to tame increasing rate, never below inflation, and try to take advantage of additional revenue, room night sold. So it is it's not the same as what we've been doing to increase rates and protect margins. I think that at this point in time, we have a chance to tackle certain markets that with a little bit of rate stabilization, or not say reduction, that they have a lower ceiling for paying certain level of rates, we could get their business and increase the penetration in the brands, in the markets, but always trying to have a healthy increase in RevPAR. So again, it's a play It's a play of two variables, and you have to balance those in your strategy. But we're planning to increase, to show a higher occupancy closer to 60% for next year.
Oh, wow. That'd be wonderful. Well, thanks. Those are my questions, and good luck. And I appreciate all the hard work.
Our next question comes from the line of Martin Lara. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, this is Martin Lara from Miranda Global Research. Good morning, and thank you for the call and congratulations for these results. I have two questions. The first one is, could you please give us more details about the potential asset sales? And the second one is, what are your plans with respect to the treasury shares? Do you expect to cancel them?
Well, we should be announcing very soon the sale of another piece of assets. This we're doing it selectively, and it's kind of an opportunistic sale. We, as you know, we have not sold properties below replacement and not even below book value. So we are doing a selective sale of assets with selective investors that are willing to pay a reasonable cap rate for the time being. So this is not a fire sale at all. It is a cautious process, selective, and that brings value and that immediately helps us to reduce debt and get rid of the leverage and the interest expense. As you know, we are not worried about the level of the number of pesos we owe. It's more that we're worried about the high interest rate base, the base interest rate that is too high. Now it continues to tend to the trend downwards, which is going to help us in the next year. But we will continue with these selective pieces of assets. These are not relevant sales because they're one by one, very selective. So you won't find a huge reduction in our asset base. It just as Leo mentioned in his speech. It is more of an optimization of the assets that we have that provide good revenue and try to increase the ROIC of our portfolio. Related to the shares that we have bought were obviously to protect and establish a level the price level that should not go down. So it's more of a defense strategy. Yes, we have bought and we are still deciding what to do with them. We have two ways. And during this lack of liquidity and high interest rates in the market, we have them as a source of liquidity in the case the market turns sour. And on the other side, we are also holding them in case, and we are searching for more institutional investors, strategic, that would like to come on board. So we at this point in time, we are not planning to cancel the sales in the short term, and probably by mid next year or in the coming months, we would be able to set a definite strategy to them. If we feel comfortable with the situation, the way the current new government will react and will act, and how the environment for Mexico and the investment appetite for Mexico is, we would use that asset that we have already in hand to generate value for the investors by having a strategic investor or by even canceling them, or if we need liquidity, offer them in the market in an orderly fashion.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the phone line ending 0283. Please state your name and company name and ask your question. You may need to press star six to unmute yourself.
Bueno.
Sí, adelante.
Our next question comes from the line of Felipe Barragán. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hey guys, good morning. This is Felipe Barragan from BTG Pactual. Thanks for the call and congrats on the strong results. My question is a little bit more on the nearshoring theme. So this past quarter, we saw sort of like a slowdown in the demand for industrial properties. And so I'd like to hear, you guys are sort of a proxy as well for the theme. So just want to hear your thoughts on what you guys have seen on the ground and if you guys have seen also this sort of slowdown, or if you guys have also seen this demand still strong. Thank you.
No, okay. Thank you, Felipe. No, in essence, yes. Obviously, the demand for warehousing and industrial facilities has slowed down, but the level of activity on the ones that are rented has been kept. So this is more of a new the growth of it. But the volume has reached a level which is still very attractive in the region. That's what happens in most of these areas, like what happened in the Bajío, Celaya, Salamanca, Irapuato, a couple of years ago, many years ago. The investment rushes in heavily and increases that demand. But then when the activity of those plants built tends to tame a little bit because the guys that come for building and designing and startup, no? And the startup, then that creates an increased demand, which is temporary. Now, the level in the U.S. in the northern border is still strong. Probably what has happened is, I don't know whether you remember that we had a very healthy medical visitor. People that came from the US to take some medical treatments, light medical treatments to the border towns, and Tijuana was no exception. That, for instance, created a little bit of sluggish demand in that region. But it is a market segment very specific. The general one, the activity is strong. Yes, it's slowing the search and the demand for new warehousing, but again, the level that left all the new construction that has been done in the last several years now, it is still strong. It's a matter of how we see. Probably, I would be watching closely what happens with elections in this week over this weekend, and what is going to be the conversation or the thesis about the US government as to their reaction or their actions about the free trade agreements and definitely what happens with that region. It's very sensitive to it. But in essence, it's as long as it's I think it's a normal cycle. Nothing to worry about yet.
Got it. Yeah. So still strong. And then if I may ask another question, it's a little bit more on the announcement from Marriott to expand into the US. So considering your current pipeline, how would these two mix? Would you prioritize maybe the US first instead of your current pipeline in Mexico, or would this still be a mix between the two?
I think that definitely would be LATAM in the short term, since the announcement was done just last week. For practical purposes, we will begin to put efforts into visiting Marriott, North American team, and establish a plan that could be that we can team with them in order to use our strategic alliance for the border states. So, I mean, all these things takes time, but definitely it's on the agenda. So in order of priority is LATAM, and second, try to capitalize on the new announcement as a second part, probably by second part, first part, the late first semester, we'll have much more color about where the whereabouts of that project within Citi. We would like to raise equity and do a little fund with partners and go in and develop a bunch of them. Or we could go with individual partners that are looking for North American investment in the US and do it one by one. But again, let us think, we are thinking on that. And we just got the news last week, so it's too soon to have you an answer.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense, but thank you for the color.
Our next question comes from the line of Bernardo Malpica. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hey there. Thank you for the time and the question. I'm Bernardo Malpica from Santander Asset Management. My question is more towards Altabix expenses. We did see the cost and expenses, if I'm not mistaken, tripling. I just want to know where this increase came from mainly. And my second question would be, with higher scale, where do you think we could see EBITDA margin stabilizing a bit more in this segment? Thank you.
Hi, Bernardo. This is Santiago. So yes, Altabix, just to recall, Altabix used to be a cost center that was part of the operating company. And this helped us to develop all the IT platform that made Citi Express the largest distribution in our segment. So now we're like putting it on a side and making it a business. And we're investing in this new project with Web Hospitality and Altabix, which is called Altabix and StackUp. And we're putting some more investment. We're hiring people. We have servers. And so the expense of that and the allocation of corporate expenses have gone through the different business units. So I would say that you will see this normalizing in the coming quarters. And Altabix should be by the end of the year.
Bernardo, this is Luis Barrios. Really, as Santiago was mentioning, this was a cost center. And with that, we developed all the infrastructure, all the BI systems, and all the communications with our properties in order to have a really, really high-tech, slim, efficient platform that would help, that could help us be profitable in the and in the scale, in the, let's say, in the economy scale of hotels, economy price. They are not, they are lean. They don't have more than 22 persons per unit. So we had to develop a way of being profitable and managing, let's say, low cost properties. Now, today we reach a wall and say, okay, all of these that we built, what should we do with this technology? Should we scale it down and let go all the talent and the personnel that we have here? Or should we try to provide, since we are becoming a multi-brand and a multi-region operating company that needs technology behind, what should we do? Should we close the shop and reduce it to the bare minimum and lose all that expertise, talent and team and products already designed and workable? Or should we put it on this new basket called Altabix and becomes a startup? It's really a startup business within an established company. So what I would say is we are investing, and that's why we have that platform. In the coming months, we already have different plans. We are evaluating them seriously with the board. And very soon, we will have a clear path for that business team and area. Since we are today have about 11 projects, management projects, and also 11 or 4 or 12 projects in the development side, I mean development of new hotels, and the other are in management contracts. We are seeing that the service become a service provider of this technology for third parties could be very profitable. But this is the side in which a public company that is highly concentrated in the quarterly results, no, crashes with a startup with a new project that is not going to be subsidized by anybody else within the company. So we are exactly in that two-way road. Go for it or reduce it and scale it, let down, and let go the opportunity for that team and that product. While at the same time, on the other side, we're looking that there is a high growth opportunity in terms of management contracts and growth in LATAM. And then add up the potential of Marriott growing the brand, the City Express brand. And now that we have this contract of supplying software, the POS, the PMS to them. So we'll try to do our best. We try to accommodate the best strategy for City, and we will present it to you for sure in the next quarterly call.
Just perfect. Let me just to add some color from somebody that just joined 6 weeks ago on this particular business, to give it some context as well as I understand it. And even though it is called a startup, we've been developing software for 20 years, and the core of the software, it's been used and approved and endorsed by big brands like Marriott, and it's been developed and sold to third parties over the past 10 years. So we already have 80 hotels with 8,000 rooms that are already buy the software. There is some development cost on the technology side to move some of the modules into the cloud, which we're building, but the really the scaling up in the startup business, it's not on the technology side, it's on the commercial side. So the risk to this business is the execution and the commercial strategy, which we're analyzing and looking at, and how that makes sense. But just to have some color from somebody that just came in, because I had probably the same question that all of you had, it's how this business unit that is becoming a business unit, you know, plays and what history it has. I'm amazed by the endorsements that it already has from Marriott and from other OTAs and platforms that like the product. That we're not starting from scratch. This is not a completely starting from zero business.
I want to call it a startup because for me, which we've been living with it, it is a that was and was really a support tool, a support area. Now it's becoming a business. That is the reason why I call it a startup. And we will keep you posted on it. And what I would suggest, I would ask here Hector to put in our website, the investors' website, just a color of the size of the market.
Perfect. That is very helpful. Yeah.
To understand where we're coming from.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the answer. It was very, very clear. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from the line of Isabella Salazar. Please state your company name and ask your question. Isabel, I believe you're still on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, all good.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear.
I'm so sorry. Thank you. My question is really quick. I was wondering if you could share more details about where the 12 project pipeline that you mentioned in the report is lo are located, where these 12 projects are located in Mexico and Latin America.
Most of the let's talk about the development side, the development of my project development and services in design, architecture, project management, etc. Most of them are in Mexico still. However, we have begun giving providing service to an investors in Dominican Republic, and we are also analyzing a project in Colombia. We're also helping people already in Colombia with the city expresses. Also, we were very close to sign a property in Cancun with a brand which is not necessarily Marriott. It's another international brand. The rest of them are in the state of Nayarit, in Mexico City, and the region in Cancun, in the Quintana Roo, in the Riviera Maya. In terms of management contracts, we are also analyzing. Remember that there is a cross sale between when we start providing services for a property in Colombia. We're also making a bid for the management contract. So there is a crossover of the sales efforts, and therefore one is that I would say that development is a spearhead of the process in selling a management contract sometimes, and in this case it's happening with the City Express brand abroad. In Mexico, we are looking at different projects in Mexico. Most of them, we're trying to move up to managing five-star properties, and I would say that we have that on the on close close in terms of negotiation, and we would probably provide in the next coming months some announcements. On the other side, we have many properties in select services. In different areas, different states in Mexico. So mostly today, the management contracts efforts are concentrated in Mexico, but the new lights are coming from LATAM and the City Express brand at this point in time. But it's moving. We're beginning to see more requests of counseling and contacts in other regions like Guatemala. We received a call from persons in Argentina. So it's beginning. As we mentioned in our report, I think the transition with Marriott has been, first of all, get all our distribution channels in order and sales. In the meantime, they had to mature the acquisition of the brand, put it in their system, organize themselves to start also promoting in LATAM. That is happening as we speak. And now with the announcement in the US, that will reinforce heavily the opportunities to get contracts on that line. I mean, the line of Marriott and the relation with it.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the color.
Our next question comes from the line of Michael Burkle. Please state your company name and ask your question.
Hi, my company is Zenon Investments, and I would have two follow-up questions on what has been covered before to deepen our understanding. The first one would be, regarding the asset sales. Is there any structural limit you see for yourselves in going into the asset light model and selling up to a certain limit of your assets? And the second question would be regarding the US announcement. I mean, if you take the four states together, that's roughly two-thirds of the population of Mexico, and then you add some from South America. So I would like to get some idea of how big of a potential you see for the specific target group for your brands or your ex-brand. What's the potential you see in those markets? And tied to this, how should we think about your preference? I mean, do you have a first right of refusal for developing or co-investing or managing? Or are you preferred bidder? I mean, what's the quality of that preference you were talking about to get a better feel for the opportunity arising? Thank you.
Hi, Michael. This is Santiago. And in terms of the asset sales, we have, I mean, we're, as Luis mentioned, we're doing this selectively. So, I mean, we don't have a limit, but we're not foreseeing, I mean, this is a selective brand, maybe 300 million-400 million pesos. No, we're just selectively trying to sell some of the properties to repay debt and to lower interest expense. Now, in terms of the potential for the markets, for the brand that we sold, there's a lot of potential in many Latin American countries. That is because they have the same market mix that we have in Mexico, where 80% of the hotels are mom and pops, and 20% of the hotels are branded versus the US. So there's a lot of potential in those places. And in the US, I mean, there's also a great potential because of all the people that are going back and forth, all the commercial relations that Mexico has with the US and the brand recognition that a lot of these people that are crossing the border know the hotels in Mexico. So, I mean, but now the growth potential is done by Marriott. So we're not into that, no?
We will be following Marriott into that, and we are offering our services to operate. We are also receiving already several projects that will be done with this brand in LATAM, just for the sake of approving and certifying that the standards of the projects that they are doing are okay. And that provides us the opportunity to get in touch with the owners and establish a first connection and eventually sign a management contract. We will try, as I mentioned in our previous conversation in this call, the news just came about a week ago. So we have it on the agenda. We knew it was coming and finally came. So we have it as part of our agenda for next year. And we will structure a way in which, with using very few capital resources, could we, if we could do a little or special situations fund to develop in certain areas, or go individual by individual with the investor base that we have in Mexico that are willing to invest in the US. As you know, we grew in terms of the infrastructure and how we will cope with capacity. Is the good thing of our business is that when we develop, the time to market of a property takes a couple of years or a year. In our case in Mexico, in some cases took 6 months, no? But in the States, things are slower in that sense. So it would give us enough time to plan ahead of what the structure will be, the complexity of the deal, whether we do a joint venture over there with a management company or not. So, I mean, it's up in the air. Now, it's a great opportunity, yes. If we had funds ourselves and we had that mindset of when we started Citi, we would use all our resources, part of our resources, to grow directly with our own investment. In this moment, we are not in that mood. The strategy is more an asset light, but we will definitely, if we have certain resources in hand and are able to seed a fund and grow with third-party capital, mostly third-party capital, we'll do it. So this is open for this to be designed. But the mentality is not go there without resources. It's leverage on someone else.
And maybe just as a follow-up, if I may, this question, how should we think about this, the quality of your preference relationship that you mentioned? Is that a right of first refusal for a certain project, or you always are allowed and joined in and invited to bid, or how should we think about it?
It's a preference right. Whatever that means.
And what does this mean concretely?
That we will be referred and we will be taken with certain priority in the development. But let me tell you, it doesn't have any matter at all whether it's preferred or is first right. Is to have a good relationship with Marriott, and we will be invited and presented to the potential developers in over the other side of the border. So if I had capital, but we didn't have it, that's why I didn't ask for a first right of refusal, because I would most surely would not be able to comply with the capital requests. But yes, we can structure and we can present a deal, and we will have a preferred stance when we talk to Mario.
Okay, and thank you. Thank you very much.
We will pause once more for questions. We have not received any further questions at this point, so that concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the call back over to Luis Barrios for his closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you all for participating in today's call. As we look ahead, I want to emphasize the importance of staying committed to our strategy goals. Over the years, we've built a resilient and adaptable company, and I'm confident that with our strong foundation and leadership in place, Norte 19 will continue to thrive. If you have any questions or feedback, please feel free to call out, to reach out.
And it's Leo Schlesinger here. Thank you, Luis. I share the confidence. We have the team and the track record to succeed. Looking ahead, our focus will be on getting the most out of our existing business line, exploring new opportunities for growth, and especially strengthening our operations. Thank you for your time today, and we look forward to sharing more updates in the coming quarters.
That concludes today's call. You may now disconnect.